your seat. Thank you so much, praise team, for that hymn. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. God is good, and all the time. Wait. God is good, and all the time. Yes, I'm not sure what everybody has said towards the end, but that is his nature. Amen. My name is Tabi Kimani. I am born again. I love the Lord. And karibuni sana to the 11 a.m. service. It's good to see you all. Thanks for choosing to come to church in a public place amidst the storm of coronavirus. The Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. So, in our banner up there, we're in the first quarter. Our sub-theme is Stand. Of course, our theme is Arise and Shine. I hope you're shining amidst the storm. And we are at Stand Out. We have done No Conformity. We have done No Copycatting. I hope you stopped copycat. Yes, and today we are doing Majority in Minority. Praise the Lord. That's where we are, and our leading verse is Joshua 24:15. With God, you are not alone. You know, it sounds like it's such a good coincidence, especially with coronavirus. With God, you're not alone. So you won't be affected, amen? Yes, so, and we've read our two readings. The first one was in 1 Kings 18:21 to 24, the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And we all know how that story went, isn't it? Isn't it? Do we know? Or we can do a recap. Let's do a recap. Kidogo tu. So now, on this side, there was Elijah. Elijah was alone. And then on this side, there was prophets. There were, not was. There were 450 prophets of Baal. 450. I mean, that's one person against 450. Okay, sawa. I hope we'll get busy. One person against 450, that is big. And so now at this moment, people are wondering which God is God. And Elijah was like, you people, don't you believe in your God? And he was asking them a question. You don't need to be torn into two. You need to choose. And now they needed to prove which God is God. So 400, he told them, you come with two bulls. And you choose whichever bull you want. So if you want the big one, and of course I can imagine they chose the big one, isn't it? Yes. And then they put it on their altar. And then he told them, do not put any fire. So the God who will put a fire on the altar, that is God. So the prophets of Baal, and of course you know there are many. So they have the numbers. They seem like they are strong. They prayed. Where? From morning. Wakaomba, wakaitana, 11. Wakaomba, wakaitana, woi. Elijah was like, by the way, do you know your God could be asleep? So please wake him up. Wake him, mwiteni, hadi amke. They called. I think in the afternoon probably, and Elijah was telling them, oh, probably he's gone for a walk. You know that evening walk or whatever. So call him. And these guys, 450, aki this God. 450 voices calling unto him. Five. And at six, Elijah's like, you know what? By the way, you guys, see, we just give my God a chance now. Like, you guys have called a whole day. And so, Elijah, man solo, kujijaza, mwanamme, took the other cow, cut it. He took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he did something amazing. Akawaambia, tutachimba mitaro properly. So if you're an architect, you come. You know the way you build a foundation of the house. Chimbeni mitaro kama here around that altar. And then he told them, I'm not the one who will bring water actually. So that you don't say nimeleta mafuta ta. So akawambia leteni maji, mwaga, pour. Until now from the altar, water was just dripping. You know, dripping. And Elijah lifted up his hands. And when he prayed, fire fire consumed that cow properly. And then the people look at Elijah and are like, wow, your God is indeed the God whom we will serve. Amen? That's the recap of that story. We understand also the story about Joshua, right? Before Joshua said these words, what he'd done is that after Moses had led the people of Israelites, and now he was dying, he called his servant Joshua. And he told him, now you're the one who will take these children towards the promised land. And so Joshua, being filled with the Holy Spirit, led these children there. He went, he subdivided the land, and all the tribes were given their portion, and now they knew who the Lord was, and they were saved. But it had reached a point that these guys were so much used to the Lord that they now had started forsaking the Lord God Almighty. And on top of that, they had started intermarrying with their neighboring nations. And you remember the commandment of the Lord. They were told, you shouldn't intermarry. Why? They will make you serve other gods. And at this point, Joshua was like, you guys, choose whom you want to serve. If you want to serve the God of your forefathers, at this time he meant the God whom they were serving before the call of Abraham. If you want to go back to that, you go. Choose. Sounds like a free will that the Lord gives us. But then Joshua stood out like we should, stood out and brought his household and said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Now, humanly speaking, and the nature of man, our desire sort of is like just to conform to the people. It's like, I don't know, there's always something with numbers. It is always related to power, you know, to strength. It's always related to huge things. I mean, when you have numbers, people look at you and they say, but they have numbers. It's superior to be many. And when you're few, people look at you like, weshe, aki, mko angapi, ulikuwa peke yako, wa, weye. And it's always associated with fear, inferiority, like, you know, loneliness, weakness, like you can just be stamped on, like you're nothing because you're few. Yet, in these two stories, and many more that you're going to look, we find that Jesus and God, in most cases, opted to use few people, weak people, poor people, people whom the world could not think of anything. And that is what God calls us to do. And when we look at those stories, and we look even at more, there are things that these people did, and I'd want us to just think about them and call us ourselves to bring our minds and our hearts to them and think in the way that these people thought. First, we see that Elijah asked a question. I think it's three questions, and I think we can read those three questions. And it says, that is 1 Kings 18:21-24. Yes. I can't find it in the big Bible. Let me use mine. So, 1 Kings. Yes, 18:21 says, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Then Joshua told the people of Israelites, you choose whom you want to serve today. If you want to serve your forefathers, go back. If you want to serve God, then come. Let us serve the Lord. And then when we look at the story of Elisha, Elisha was one prophet who came after Elijah. And he asked Elijah, please give me a double portion of yours. And Elisha, in one of his fights against the enemies, he had his servants. And Elisha, when they were about to fight in that night, that servant looked around and he saw the enemy's armies. That sounds like a tongue twister. The enemy's armies. And there were so many. And he woke up his master. Master, now look at the army that is around us. And then Elisha told him, I pray that your eyes will be opened to see the Lord who is with us. And immediately his eyes were opened and he saw angels around the camp that they were staying in. And he knew that there were actually so many. We look also at Joshua. That is in Joshua and Caleb when they were sent to spy in the promised land in Numbers 13, 30 to 33. And there were 12 of them, yet only two people who gave a good report. We look at the judge Gideon. Gideon was called by God to lead, to judge amongst the children of Israelites. And when he was going to fight in one of the fights, he had picked so many soldiers. But the Lord told him, reduce that number. And he reduced. And then the Lord told him, there's still so many. Reduce them. And he reduced. And again the Lord told him, reduce them again until they were 300 men. We look at even how God says that if two or three are gathered, just as simple as a gathering, two or three. The Lord didn't say if you are 50. No, two or three, I'll be there among you. And in all these people, there's one thing that they always did. And not only one, we look at three things that these stories calls us to do. And one is making the decision. Choose between majority and minority. Choose where do you want to stand. Do you want to stand in the very many sayings of what people are saying, even at this moment with corona and fear and being scared? Or do you want to stand on the Lord's side? Make a decision. Joshua did it so well. He spoke even for his household. And we look forward to have men who will do that for their houses. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Elijah did it so well. For how long are you going to be torn into two? I mean, make a decision. It was almost like commanding them. I am telling you, you're either on this side or on this side. Make a decision. And not just making a decision. Let that decision be made, be known. Speak it, confess it. Daniel 1:8, you remember the story of Daniel with the three other Hebrew men in the kingdom which Nebuchadnezzar was leading. And he asked the whole of that kingdom to bow. From the beginning, Daniel had resolved in his heart that he's not going to eat the king's food. And even when the king had said there should be no prayer, Daniel resolved in his heart and he withdrew three times a day in an upper room and he always prayed. When he was thrown even in the den of lion, it was because he was making a decision in which he stood for and proclaimed it. The three men went ahead and told the Lord, may it be known to you that we are not going to bow before you. And even if you throw us into the furnace, we will not fear. Because we believe that we will not burn. And even if we burn, may it be known, we are not going to do that. How amazing that God showed up inside that fire. And instead of three men, they seemed to appear four men. Why? They made a decision. They resolved in their hearts. They didn't just make the decision in their hearts. They confessed it. They said it. They acted it. And that's what God is calling us today to do. Make a decision. Romans 10:9 says that if you believe in your heart, it's amazing how God talks about it, and it was salvation. And he says, if you believe in your heart and do what? Confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. There is power in confessing. The second thing that these men knew, and they followed it at heart, is they knew who is with them. After we make a decision and we confess it, then we need to know who is God. Whom are we serving? Who is this God who has called us? The knowledge about God is nearer in knowing God because it's about God. But when you know God himself, when he reveals himself to you, when you seek to know God himself, not just about, right now we can know about Australia, we can know about US, but unless you are there, it remains as a theory, true? Now let's not make God a theory. Let's know God. Job, one of the great servants of God that lived here on earth, when he was faced with challenges and the children died, all his belongings got lost, and his friends were talking to him and they were telling him, you know what, you have disobeyed God. And even his wife was like, you dude, you just abused this God. You've been so faithful, yet this is what he does to you. Kwani, what God do you serve? And it reached to a point where Job was like, okay, God, now I need not to hear any other voice. I need to hear you. And God told him, Job, brace yourself like a man. Stand before me like a man. I ask you these questions and you answer me. And the Lord started explaining who he is to him. And he asked him, do you even know how the clouds form and bring rain? Do you know the depths of the waters and how it holds together? Do you know who feeds that animal that is in the desert and that one that is in the forest? Do you know? And he asked so many questions. If you can have time, you go read the book of Job and you will look and wonder. And Job stood amazed before the presence of God. In 42 verse 5, he said, my ears had heard about you, but now my eyes have seen you. And when he had been explained and confessed that, his mind changed, his attitude changed, his view of losing everything changed. And that's what we need in our hearts. Let's trust the Lord to reveal himself to us. When we know that he who is in us is greater than in the world, and he who is in us is the one who said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. When we know that he says, if I am for you, then nothing can be against you. If he's the one who says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you know that God, nothing shall fear. Nothing shall you fear. Amen? And he calls us and he desires us to have the interest of knowing him. He is so ready to reveal himself to us, but wait, who is ready to know him? Who is having an expectant heart? Who is reading the Bible not just as a novel, but with a spirit that hungers and desires to see God? Who? Who? May we be found ready to do that. The third thing that these people did is that they always considered the end result. So look and consider the end result. So they made a decision. They knew whom they were with. And then they always considered the end result. Our psalm of the day today, if you were here in the morning, it talks about the psalm of Asaph. And Asaph was a man who wrote really nice psalms. And in this psalm, he was so devastated. He was so angry. He was asking God, I mean God, the wicked prosper. These people who cheat, these people who are corrupt, they have everything they need. They want to fly out. They don't do harambees. If any one of them has cancer, they don't do harambees. These people have money. They have cars. They have. And he looked, and these are the wicked. They don't even fear God. And Asaph was like, God, what is this? And we who are righteous, we suffer. I mean, today is headache, kesho karibu, accident, the other day is this. And I am always praying every day, God, what is this thing? And Asaph asked God questions. Really, or probably he wandered before the Lord. Verse 15 gives a very good answer that God told him. And it says, that is Psalm 73, verse 15. Until I entered into the sanctuary of the Lord, and I considered, and the Lord explained to him how the end of these people shall be. Surely you place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. And you will read more of how he now considered their end. And he chose to remain as righteous. When we consider the end result of being faithful, of being pure, of being righteous, we will not be overtaken by what is happening around us. Our eyes won't be blinded by the things that are happening at the moment. Why? Because we have the end result in our minds. Hebrews chapter 12, I can probably read it as we come to our closure. It says, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary. Consider the end result of choosing the Lord. Because you know that when he is on your side, and when you choose his side, even if you're alone, you're a majority. Amen? And even if the world looks at you and physically they see like you're so inferior, just know that you know who and whose side you are on. So in every decision we make, and most of the time, even us as young people, we're always faced by the challenge of ndakuwa peke yangu. Even in campus, when we say degree ni harambe, so you can cheat. And at times the Lord is calling you out, not even at times, all the time. God is calling you out. When everybody else is cheating, choose not to. Your way, and that way will be so narrow. That path will be so rough. Trust me, you will have very few companions, but you have a reliable guide. And his name is Yahweh. Even in our place of works, when everybody is taking a bribe, when everybody is doing all sort manner of things, choose to be on the Lord's side. It will be a very difficult path. People will look at you and wonder, how foolish are you? Kwani umsia ametoka wapi? But even at that point, know on whose side you are. Because you and God make a majority, even if it's 1,000. Who will befall on your left side and another on your right side. Nothing will defeat you because you know our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I welcome the praise team. And even as we stand, as we pray for this country and the whole world, and as we trust the Lord for men and women who are living at this moment with this, what the Lord has done with making sure that human wisdom looks like something so small. Let us pray that people will hear the voice of truth, the voice of Jesus, and turn to him with repentant hearts and desire to walk with the Lord. Because that's the only thing we need. Even if we get medicine on how to control it, unless you are fully, fully rooted in Jesus, fear will be your portion. But because we are in Christ and he does not give us fear, he gives us power, then we will know that we serve a greater God. And so may we all stand. And as we make that prayer, I request that, as we always do,